Good morning, and we welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, I want to talk about the brevity of life. I believe one of the main problems that many people have today in their life is they do not consider the brevity of their life, and they do not make sure that they get their life right with God while they have the opportunity. They just simply live their life and postpone it. They think they have all the time in the world. They're not concerned about death. They're not concerned that their life may be taken away from them sooner than they realize. They don't consider that possibility. And so through procrastination and just putting things off, they do not make their life right with God. I want to talk about the brevity of life. When you look at life and the complete picture, it is relatively brief and short. And so we need to get serious, friends, about making sure that our life is right with God while we have the time to do it. We don't have forever. We have one life. And when that life is over with, we're going to face God in judgment. And if we're not right with God, there's no time to get right after we die. So to do that, I want to look at Psalm 90 this morning. We're going through the Psalms, looking at Psalms that deal with situations today that we need to be seriously thinking about. And Psalm 90 comes to my mind, God's eternity and man's brevity. God's eternity and man's brevity is contrasted. This psalm is attributed to Moses by the ancient Jews. And that very well may be, if you look at Deuteronomy 33, and the blessing that Moses gives Israel right before he dies. He mentions some of the themes that are found here in Psalm 90, so this certainly could be written by Moses. But whether he did it or someone else did it, the main message that we do know is that God is eternal and everlasting, but man has but a brief time on this earth. And we would do well to wise up, to get serious about the brevity of life, get our life right with God by obeying the gospel and being baptized into Jesus Christ, living faithfully each day, striving to do God's will, because our life is brief. And we'll look at Psalm 90. We will also look at some other passages that teach the brevity of life. But friend, are you serious about getting your life right with God while you have an opportunity? Let's read and learn from Psalm 90 together this morning. The psalmist writes, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Just stop right there. Do we view God, the Lord God, as our dwelling place? We're going to live in Him, abide in Him, abide in His Word. He surrounds us. He controls our life. Or do we live a life where we're the one in charge? We're God. We're our own ruler, our own master. We do what we want. We don't answer to God or anybody else. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Is God at the center of your life and mine? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou didst form the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So the eternal nature of God. This is before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before time, before the creation, before the universe, before the physical and material things around us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed from all eternity. That is mind-boggling to me, because we're so used to having things measured by time. It's hard for me to realize that someone can be not bound by time. No beginning and no ending. That is hard for me to fathom, because I am, like you are, bound by a physical time or physical world. One day all of that will be gone, and there will be eternity in heaven or eternity in hellfire. But right now it's hard to imagine that because we're so used to things having a beginning and an ending and being measured by seconds and minutes and hours and days and so forth. To have a being like God that existed before any time or physical creation is hard to fathom, and yet that is the truth. And the whole point of the psalmist is to contrast the fact that we are not like that. We have a beginning point, we're born, and then we will die. Now, our spirit will live on, that's true, after death. But we are born and then we die. Solomon writes, there's a time in Ecclesiastes, a time to be born and there's a time to die. And so the psalmist opens up with God's eternity, and then he's going to move into man's brevity. Verse 3, you, God, turn man to destruction and say, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years to God is like a day. Peter will bring that up in 2 Peter chapter 3. 1,000 years for us is just like a day with God, or like a watch in the night. Ancients divided the night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., into four watches of 3 hours apiece. So 1,000 years is like 3 hours to God. Just a comparison, just a figure. God is not bound by time like we are. He's eternal. And in talking about God's eternal nature, the first thing that the psalmist brings up is that which is negative. Facing the wrath of God and the judgment of God. That's going to be from verse 3 down to verse 12. It is mostly negative in nature. In verse 13 through the end of the psalm, it's going to be positive in nature, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But the brevity of our life, we need to think about the brevity of our life with regard to God's wrath or with regard to God's loving kindness. In our brief life, we can live in such a way that we're going to face God's wrath, or we're going to live in such a way that we face His loving kindness. The choice is yours, whether you obey the gospel or not, whether you become a Christian or not. So notice that. He's going to open up with the wrath of God, and then he's going to move to the loving kindness of God. But it's in the context of realizing that our life is short, and how we live with God, we're going to face one or the other. So verse 5, you carry them away as with a flood. That's mankind who's not living right. They are fit for destruction. Verse 3, God will carry them away as with a flood. They are as sleep, in other words, passing. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and groweth up, and in the evening, it is cut down and withers. This is mentioned in another psalm, Psalm 103, about all flesh is like grass that withers. Peter will quote that in 1 Peter. All flesh is as grass, including mankind. Grass is a temporary plant. It grows up, it gets cut down, or it withers, it burns, it dries up. And mankind is like that. And so what are we going to do with our brief life here on this earth? Are we going to live it to the glory of God? Are we going to live it each waking moment to bring people to God, to serve God, to love God, to follow His will? Or are we going to live in such a way that we disobey God and we face His wrath. Look at verse 7. For we are consumed in thine anger. And he will explain in a minute what is causing this. What is causing the anger and the wrath of God? Verse 7. And in thy wrath are we troubled. We're living in such a way that we're going to face the anger and wrath of God. Some people don't like to think about God as getting angry. The proverb writer says there are seven things that God hates. We don't think about what God hates or the wrath of God or the anger of God. We don't like to talk about that. We don't like to think about that. But that is in the Scripture, friends, both in the Old and New Testament. Some liberal scholars talk about the God of the Old Testament is an angry God, but the God of the New Testament is not. They just simply don't know their Bibles. We need to obey the gospel and turn to God, and we need to be saved by Christ. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, how you turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, look at this, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In the judgment day, if we have not obeyed the gospel, we're going to face God's wrath and eternity in hell fire. People don't like to talk about that, but it's true. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, but after your hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life, in other words, heaven, but unto them that are factious, look at this, and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. If we obey not the truth, that is the truth of the New Testament gospel, we're going to get wrath and indignation and tribulation and anguish. That's hellfire. Now, I know that it's uncomfortable, and I know that people don't like to talk about it, but sometimes the truth, we've got to talk about the truth even though it's uncomfortable. That happens when we go to the doctor sometimes. That happens when we go to the dentist sometimes. They want to talk to us about the truth. It's uncomfortable, but it's for our good. And the same is true with God. We have a brief period of time here in this life, and if we're not obeying the truth, we're going to face God's anger and wrath. And here's the reason. Look at Psalm 90, verse 8. Why is a person facing God's anger and wrath? You have set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Iniquity, which means acting without God's law, lawlessness, acting contrary to God's law. And if we sin, which means to miss the mark of God's word, it could be secret. People may not know about it. It could be something we do in the privacy of our own life. But God knows it. Our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. So that's what's causing the wrath and the anger of God. It's not that he just sits up into heaven and he just sort of indiscriminately gets mad at people. It's when we have iniquities and sins in our life that is not forgiven and we have not obeyed the gospel. And even if we're doing something secret, God knows that. Now look at this. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We bring our years to an end as a sigh. Do you want to go through life facing the wrath of God, living and dying that way, and facing Him in judgment that way. That is a choice. Now, we're going to see a positive choice here in just a minute. That's what we want. But one of the choices is you can live all your days and be passed away in God's wrath. What a sad thing. What an unnecessary thing. What a complete waste of time. Jesus came to die on the cross so that our sins could be washed away in baptism. And yet a person is just going to live their life and pass away in God's wrath. Wow. Why not be different? Those around you may want to do that, but friend, you can be different. Why not be different? And then the psalmist goes on to say, the days of our years are 70. 60 plus 10 is 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80 years. 80 years. Yet is there pride, but labor and sorrow. For it is soon gone, and we fly away. The brevity of man, God's eternity and man's brevity, that's what this psalm is contrasting. We might live 60 or 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80. We know some who will live past 80, up into their 90s. There's a few places on earth, Japan, and a few places where people are living over 100 years, but at a certain point, everyone dies. The average is in the 70s and 80s. And that's true today, as it was when the psalmist wrote this. So, friends, what are we going to do with the brevity of our life? We need to get serious about making our life right with God and getting rid of these iniquities and these sins. One more time, the psalmist brings up the anger of God. Who knows the power of thine anger and thy wrath according to the fear that is due unto thee? People are getting away from the fear of God. They're not reading their Bible, so they're not reading those Bible stories that talk about people who are severely punished, even unto death, because they disobey God. We have sanitized our life. We have sterilized our life. We have not looked at these Bible stories, and so people don't read about Nadab and Abihu being burned up with God's fire. We don't read about people being struck with leprosy as a result of God's judgment, or people being swallowed up in the earth as a result of God's judgment, or people being struck dead like Ananias and Sapphira because they lied. We're not reading these things. We're not learning about them. And so we have this very downgraded version of God, where we don't know the awesome power of His anger. Look at that, the power of His anger. And there were occasions in which Moses and others interceded for people because God was going to swallow them up in death in His anger. And we don't have to face the anger and wrath of God in the judgment day. Romans 2, 5, 6, and 7. If we will obey the truth, we don't have to face that anger. So in our brief time here on this earth, let's get rid of that sin. Let's not pass away in God's anger and then have to face Him one day in the judgment day. So the well-known Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. Friends, that is the point. We need to number our days. We need to realize we're going to be here 70 or 80 years. Some live a little bit longer, but our time is going to come to an end, and it may come sooner. People are killed in automobile accidents. People have heart attacks, and they didn't realize they had any heart issues. People drop dead, and mysteriously, sometimes a young person will just drop dead. We don't know when our time is coming, but compared to God, we live just a brief time. And so let us get a heart of wisdom. That's the point. It's not just simply, the point of the psalm is not just simply, hey, learn, you need to learn that you don't live very long. That's not the point. We need to learn that we don't live very long, but we need to get a heart of wisdom to make changes in our life so that when it comes time to die, we are right with God. That's the whole point. Some people know that they don't live very long, but they still don't have a heart of wisdom. Get a heart of wisdom that says, I got to get right with God during my brief life here on this earth. So then let's look at 13 through the end of the psalm. The positive things that we can face with God if we want. Return, O Jehovah, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. In other words, change and don't have wrath and anger toward us. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness. Now that's what we want, not the anger and wrath of God. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We still have brevity. We still have a brief life, but we need to be spending it rejoicing and facing God's loving kindness. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Here's how. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory upon their children. How do we face the loving kindness of God? How do we face His goodness? How can we rejoice and be glad in life when we let God's work appear unto us and His glory? The work that He has done in giving us His Word, the work that He has done in saving us through Jesus Christ, the work that He has done in establishing a church, a people that we need to be a part of. God's work and word in our life will make us happy and glad, and we face God's loving kindness, not His wrath and His anger. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. How is that? How is the favor of the Lord upon us? When we do His will, He extends His favor to us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What we go do in life, what we engage in, will be blessed with God's favor because we have let His work in our lives. Paul will write in Philippians chapter 2, to work out your own salvation, speaking to Christians, work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you. We have to do our part, and we let God do His part, but we've got to let God work in us. Let His will work in us. Friends, we are here but a brief time, and it's not just Psalm 90. There are other passages of Scripture. If you want to turn with me to Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, the same point is made. Jehovah, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as hand breadths, just the width of a hand, like 6 inches or so. Short, in other words, and my lifetime is as nothing before thee. Surely every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. I need to know that and realize that. Turn with me to Psalm 102, verse 11. The reason it's good to read these passages is because people are going along in life and they're not considering the brevity of their life. Oh, I've got all the time in the world to obey the gospel. That Bible reading thing and prayer and going to church thing, I'll just do that later. I've got all the time in the world. You don't. Psalm 102 and verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declines. I am withered like grass. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Friends, we need to realize the brevity of our life. Turn with me to Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 4. Man is like vanity or emptiness, literally in the Hebrew, a breath. You realize how short a breath is. Man is like vanity or a breath. His days are as a shadow that passes away. So, we would do well to obey God and serve God. Job realized while he was suffering, he brought up on different occasions the shortness or the brevity of life. And he wanted God to take away his suffering so that he did not have to spend his brief life like this. Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, and it is cut down. He flees also as a shadow, and it continues not. Job chapter 7 is another passage. Job chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. When you have a weaving loom and you have the threads running vertically up and down, you slide the weaver's shuttle, a little piece of wood that has the thread on it, you slide it in a horizontal fashion in between these two rows of threads that are vertical, and that's how you make the garments and so forth. So the weaver's shuttle, that which is tossed back and forth quickly on the weaver's loom. In other words, our days are quick and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. Mine eyes shall no more see good. And Job and the psalmist and others realize these very things. And then come with me to James chapter 3. James makes the same point that we need to be thinking about the brevity of our life and doing good while we can. Come now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? You are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. But know that your glorying and your vauntings, all such glorying is evil. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Friends, our life is like a vapor, and we know that we're supposed to obey God. Let's do it now while we can. Our life is brief. Make sure you're right with God now. If we can help you with that, let's get together and study God's Word. We thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.